Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this episode, we look at some films that have become cult classics through the ages. I hope you enjoy the show. Think of the phrase cult classic, and many examples will spring to mind. But for me, the ultimate cult film has to be Easy Rider. It broke so many barriers in filmmaking at the time and was the first film to boast a superb soundtrack made up of songs from the era. The soundtrack album sold millions of copies. Peter Fonda and Dennis Hopper made the film on a shoestring budget and coerced their friend, an unknown actor called Jack Nicholson, to act in it with them. Dennis Hopper had always wanted to direct a film and was the first to admit he didn't know what he was doing. The film became the symbol of a generation searching for new values and new frontiers for their way of life. Several years earlier, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, written by Richard O'Brien and Jim Sharman, was made into a movie starring Tim Curry and Susan Sarandon. It had already been very successful on the stage, first in London, then spreading to Los Angeles and New York. The film bombed on release, but found a home in the world of late-night screenings. There's a cinema in Munich in Germany that's shown it every Saturday since 1977. Interestingly enough, the costume designer, Sue Blaine, has the opinion that her style for the film was adopted by the emerging punk movement in London at that time. It's known to be the longest-running film release in history.
Told us where we stand, and Flash Gordon with hair in silver underwear. Claude Rains was the invisible man. Then something went wrong for Fay Wray and King Kong. They got caught in a celluloid jam. Then at a deadly pace, it came from outer space, and this is how the message ran. Science fiction.
Double feature, picture show.
Faster Pussycat Kill Kill is a surefire cult classic from Oddball director Russ Meyer. Even those who aren't fond of his bigger-than-life women are sure to be seduced by this full-on ride of thrills. Deadly go-go dancers and fast cars are plentiful as three girls up to no good and looking for kicks ride through the desert taking no prisoners. They run across a crippled man and his two sons at a remote ranch and can't wait to get their hands on his disability settlement money from the railroad. The pacing is great.
If you want wild living fast, and if you want to end up giving your all, let me call. Pussycat is living reckless, Pussycat is right high. If you think that you can dream up, well, just you try. It's sad she doesn't say what's wrong from right. She's running fast and free, child of the night. In her life there'll be no time for love. You'll never take her, make up your mind. You will find Pussycat, she's living reckless, Pussycat, she's riding high. If you think that you can tame her, well, just you try. Yeah, just you try. Come on and come on and try. Yeah, come on and try. Yeah, come on and try.
Who would have thought that a Steve McQueen film could become a cult classic? But that's exactly what happened to his early film, The Blob, made in 1958. It was his first starring role, so he was reluctant to turn it down. He was offered a 10% cut of the profits when it was made, together with a low fee. In its first year, it grossed $3 million. An extraterrestrial being crash lands in the desert inside a meteorite and emerges to terrorize and absorb human beings as it grows bigger. It became a hit with the younger teen film market at drive-ins. It's a bit ham, but McQueen's star shines through as he tries to persuade everyone that there is an alien being on the loose. Burt Bacharach and Mac David penned the title song, which itself became a hit.
Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob. Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob.
beware of the blob. It creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob. Beware of the blob. It creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob.
Next up is a horror movie that has become a cult film. Cat People, directed by Jacques Tourneur and produced by Val Lewton in 1942. It deals with frigidity and lesbianism and is upheld as the first film to deal with psychological issues. Some believe Alfred Hitchcock was influenced by it, as his style changed after this film was released. It's a bit slow, but not short on atmosphere, as a young woman from Eastern Europe confronts her fears about her own roots in European folklore. It leaves a lot to the imagination, which is how a film should be, I think, rather than showing everything graphically.
Dodo, l'enfant dormira bien vite. Dodo, l'enfant dormira bientôt. Dodo, l'enfant dormira bien vite. Dodo, l'enfant dormira bientôt.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang from 2005 is a satirical noir tribute starring Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer, loosely based on Brett Halliday's novel Bodies Are Where You Find Them. It was the director Shane Black's first feature and an attempt to break out from the action genre he had become associated with as a writer, with Lethal Weapon and The Long Kiss Goodnight. It marked Robert Downey Jr.'s return to the A-list after he'd been released from prison. It's very entertaining and well made, and the two leads work well together. In 1995, Jim Jarmusch made Dead Man, starring Johnny Depp as a meek-mannered accountant heading west to begin a new job. When he arrives at his destination, he finds the job gone, and he begins a journey of discovery in the Wild West, encountering Robert Mitchum, Iggy Pop, John Hurt, Billy Bob Thornton, Crispin Glover, and Gabriel Byrne along the way. This is a wonderful film and is very captivating, and it's helped by a minimal soundtrack provided by Neil Young. Andy Warhol dabbled in film, bankrolling director Paul Morrissey to make several films in the late 60s. Morrissey ended up making a trilogy, Flesh, Trash and Heat. He found the cast in the collection of people that hung around at the factory in New York. The second one, Trash, has become a cult classic. It's a rambling account of a drug user who has numerous girlfriends but can't have sex with any of them because of his drug habit-induced impotence. It's the most watchable of the three films and has a lot of humour to it. Morrissey made no pretense with a prepared script. These were purely experiments in film. The lead actor Joe D'Alessandro has a remarkable screen magnetism and went on to make many films in Europe in the 70s, and some of these are well worth watching. The Climber, The Savage 3, and Season for Assassins. Viewed now, Trash doesn't pack the punch it had then, and it doesn't even make it onto lists of weird films these days. But remarkably, it continues to be available on various platforms for view, which maintains its cult status. George Cukor, director of My Fair Lady and A Star Is Born, said this of Paul Morrissey, I quote, "He makes a marvellous kind of world and a marvellous kind of mischief, holding nothing back and just watching it happen. Personal expression is a much abused expression, but these films are real expression. Nobody has done anything like it. The selection of people, the casting is absolutely brilliant and impertinent. The life they see, the gutter they see, or the world they see is so funny and agonising, and they see it so vividly with such original humour." He suggested one of its stars, the transsexual Holly Woodlawn, should be nominated for an Academy Award, but Gregory Peck said the Academy was undecided over whether to nominate her for Best Actor or Best Actress. Todd Browning made Freaks in 1932, in which he cast real circus attractions in a human drama set in a travelling circus. The American public was split between embracing the film and rejecting it, whilst the UK refused to grant it a licence, and it didn't get one until 1963, making it the longest banned film in history. Todd Browning had worked in a circus in his youth, which had inspired his desire to make the film, but the film did have a disastrous initial release, and Browning's career never recovered from it. The trouble was, his previous film Dracula in 1931 was such a huge hit, studio boss Irving Thalberg had instructed him, "Give us something to out-horror Frankenstein." And so he thought he was delivering what they were looking for. It was received as a sensationalist film, and very few could see the human story attached to the characters. Many were repulsed by the circus performers that included Prince Randian, a limbless man, Johnny Eck, a legless man, a bearded lady, and microcephalics, or pinheads as they are often described. Browning was definitely onto something in this film, challenging the way we view beauty and abnormality. I'm sure if the film came out now, it would garner the same reaction from the public.
Alexander's Ragtime Band. Come on in here, come on in here. It's the best band in the land. They can play a bugle call like you never heard before. So natural that you wanna go to war. That's just the best band, what I am. Oh, my honey lamb, come on along, come on along. Let me take you by the hand. Up to the man, who's the leader of the band. And if you care to hear the Swanee River play, then come on in here, come on in here, Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Peeping Tom from 1960 has a similar backstory. The director Michael Powell had risen to prominence in the UK in partnership with Emmerich Pressburger in the 1940s and 50s, making high-quality films successful at the box office. In Peeping Tom, Powell looked at the subject of voyeurism through the lens of a young psychopath working as a focus puller in a London film studio. The furore it created led to it being pulled after just 5 days of release. Powell's reputation was shattered and he never recovered it. It's a very absorbing film and I can see how it would make audiences back then uncomfortable watching it. The young man is played excellently by Karl-Heinz Böhm and his mild manner and charm remind me a lot of Peter Lorre. Those of you who are familiar with Dario Argento's work will see similarities, and I'm sure Argento knows this film very well. Interestingly, it was released the same year as Psycho, but Powell's killer is drawn much clearer and more sympathetically than Hitchcock's Norman Bates, which makes him all the more unsettling. Critic Roger Ebert wrote, I quote, "Movies make us into voyeurs. We sit in the dark, watching other people's lives. It is the bargain the cinema strikes with us." Unquote. Which brings me on to Mad Love from 1935, a film which I think deserves to become a cult classic. It stars the great Peter Lorre as a surgeon in Paris who, for the love of a woman, replaces the ruined hands of her pianist husband from a train crash with those of a knife-throwing murderer. It's directed by Karl Freund, who is better known for his earlier work as a cinematographer on Metropolis for Fritz Lang and Dracula for Todd Browning. Karl Freund is credited with inventing the unchained camera, meaning freeing the camera from its tripod to create more interesting shots, which no one had thought of before. Wow! Mad Love is a wonderful film, and Peter Lorre is fabulous as the surgeon who is smitten with love for the pianist's wife, played well by Francis Drake. This was Peter Lorre's American film debut, and what a debut it is, a truly captivating film. You may feel there are some cult films missing from this programme that you love, but there could always be another show. I hope you've enjoyed listening and happy viewing. Until the next time.